Hey everyone, welcome back to my First Time Stories podcast. I'm Janet Mbogwa, and as we continue to mark the month of the African child, I was so excited to be in conversation with Tumi. Tumi is passionate, she is fun, she is driven, but she's also just super chill. So we had a conversation about her journey to wanting to take care of animals, of the environment, and how she feels that justice and the push for justice is essentially the only way that we can begin to see a fair world across the board. It's so nice to meet you.
You too. Yeah. You're so beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Wow. You are too. And for those who are listening for the first time, we are speaking to Tumi, but I want her to introduce herself in a way that you're comfortable introducing yourself. People feel like they know you because a lot of them have seen you.
Yeah.
And in a moment, I'll ask you how that's like, you know, kind of people watching you grow up.
Yeah.
So tell us your full name and how you would describe yourself.
Okay. My name is Tumiso Mathenga Nyakoya. I'm turning 18 in August. How I describe myself, let me do like in three words. I think I'm very social. I love like talking to new people and meeting new people. I'm very like, I would say I'm nice. I hope I'm nice. I think I'm nice. Nice in like an objective way. Like I'll try to look at a situation in an objective manner instead of being like really mean to someone and stuff like that. Something else about me, I'm very passionate about animals. I really like animals. Not to like play with them, like just to help them. Right. Yeah, so like wildlife type of animals. And I'm very like I like justice. I like when things are fair. So I like fairness a lot. Yeah.
You know, I'm very inspired when I hear you say that, because I think if we have more people like that, more people who are aware and alive to being good or to justice, I feel like we'd be a lot further in life. And I'm curious, because you're turning 18. So where did that come from? Where did the passion for, you know, I guess it's conservation is what you mean when it comes to animals and protection and justice. Where did that come from? Where do you think it came from?
As my mom normally tells me, like when I was younger, I'd always watch like small like documentaries of animals, because I thought they were really beautiful. I thought they were interesting. And then when I was 10, on my 10th birthday, I wanted to go to David Sheldrick to visit the elephants, right? With my friends and everything. They thought it was really weird that I wanted to go there, but I still decided, let's go there. Yeah. And then I remember hearing the stories of the baby elephants, like someone's, like one of their moms was like killed somewhere, or poachers, or fell into a trap and stuff like that. And I was like, that's so unfair, because I felt like people kept on, like what I was saying about, like, I like fairness. I thought it's unfair that people would think that it's okay to do that to an animal, but to a human, it's not okay. I'm like, they're alive as well. And all lives matter. So I was just like, I remember I decided I'm going to take a project to adopt. This is like an adoption thing that they normally do. So we did a walk, we raised 50,000, we adopted 10 elephants. And it was really fun. Then I from that just started like springing from that. Also my family, like my extended family on my dad's side, they're very like all, everyone has a project, everyone is doing something.
Really?
Everyone.
So it's, you know, sometimes some families are like that. You have it in you. Have purpose.
Yes.
So you've grown up seeing it.
Yes.
Yeah.
A lot. Like we were, every time we go for a trip somewhere, like family trip, we always plant trees. We have, it's called Kijani World, like our family. So people are doing stuff on e-waste, people are doing stuff on art and creativity, on plastic, on wildlife, on period poverty, trees, everything, deforestation. Everyone has something that they're doing. So it's really like our aunties and uncles and my dad and my mom very like pushy on you have to make a difference. And they showed us the importance of leaving your mark and like making the world a better place, basically.
And now it's something that we've seen you do on your platform.
Yeah.
I think it was a few years ago when you started talking very openly about period poverty or period justice. Mm. Take us through where that came from.
For me, it was in primary school. I never really, okay, I knew what periods were, but I never really like knew before I had my period. All of my friends had their periods, and I thought it was like an in-group. Like, I thought it was like, everyone was like, oh yeah, my periods are coming in like 2 weeks. But they never like were very open about it, but I thought it was like really cool, and I felt so like out. I was like, damn.
Like I want to be in that group.
Yeah, I want to be in that group. Then when I got mine, first of all, how I got mine was even just...
Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah, I can talk about it.
Yeah.
Like, I remember for the first couple of months, I thought I had like... an infection. I thought I was dying, because I was like, what the heck is this?
How old were you?
I was like in class 7 class 8.
Yeah.
So I remember thinking like,
something's wrong.
What? And I didn't want to tell my mom, because I'm like, what if I'm dying? And then she's gonna take me to the hospital and I'll be told these things. And I was like, let me just tag it out, let me just wait. Then I was just like, hey, what if it's periods? Because it wasn't high. I thought it was like you go to the toilet, then it's like you're swimming, then its blood comes out, then you just continue your life. So it was not what I expected at all. Yeah. So then now, like, when I started having that conversation with my mom, she was like, no, it's your periods. And then we just thought about it. But yeah, so like, I started like thinking about why they want, because people were always so secretive about it. They would never tell the teacher that they were going to change their path. They would be like, no, sir, I need to go to the washroom. Please just let me go to the washroom. And I'm like, why is it like such a secret? So I started doing like research about it, about like periods and stuff like that. Like I just became very intrigued because I'm also a very curious person.
Okay.
And I started realizing like it's a taboo topic a lot. Like my aunties at house, in the house that normally help us like with the house management and everything, like my pads will be open in my room and my auntie will be like, oh, why you don't leave them there? Wow. And I'm like, but it's in my room. They're like, no, your dad can walk in. I'm like, why is it like a taboo topic? Then I realized about period poverty. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, the way periods are already so hard to deal with now.
First of all, thank you so much for saying that. Like, it's bad enough as it
is. It's bad enough
it's hard
as
enough.
It is.
Now you're telling me, feel bad about it, hide the pads. And then you're saying there are people who can't afford pads.
Can't afford the pads. And I can just imagine you have the cramps. You have the fact that you can't talk to, like, people about it. You have the emotions that come with it. Then you can't, you end up, like, maybe not going to school or using other, like, methods to go to school because you, like, you can't.
It bugged you. You thought to yourself, we need to do something.
Yeah.
And then it was very visible and loud what you did. And I think it was amazing.
Yeah.
There was a moment when a lot of what you were talking about, and I think, I don't know whether that marked kind of like your entry into talking about issues openly online.
Yes.
Was it 2-3 years ago? Do you remember?
It was a makeup video. I was doing a makeup removal video. Then I was like, let me talk about period poverty because it's a big issue. And the fact that it's a taboo topic means that people won't. In like with climate change, it's not a taboo topic to talk about it, so people want to take more action into it. So people won't spread that much awareness about period poverty because they're not supposed to be talking about periods in the first place. So I was just like, I have to talk about it. Then like, let's desensitize this whole social media because this is something that literally half of the population of Earth goes through. I don't understand why it's something we're not talking about openly.
You know, I've done it for so long to me, and I still don't know. This is my 10th year.
Yeah.
Talking about periods. 10th year. And this year is 10 years of Menstrual Hygiene Day.
Oh.
And I feel like...
Is that 28th May?
28th May.
Yeah.
To me.
I know my facts. Come on.
I feel like the more things change, the more they stay the same. Why? Because I think when I started talking about it, we didn't have as many vocal people, especially in your age.
Yeah.
And so that gives me some kind of hope. I'm like, if Tumi and her peers are talking about it, it means that generationally, it may just be something that isn't as taboo in future.
Hopefully.
When you talked about it and sat back and started realizing that it's a conversation people wanted to engage you in, even online, were you hesitant to say, I don't really know? Were you saying, okay, good, this is an opportunity for me to use my voice and my platform to talk about issues?
I was not hesitant at all.
Okay.
It didn't even feel like a problem. Mm-hmm. Like when I was posting it, I wasn't even thinking, are people going to be like, why are you talking about this? I was just like, let's just talk about it. And if you come for me, that's a problem with you because why? And then it'll normally be women who, older women who be coming for you for talking about it. I'm like, you go through this. You know what it feels like.
Yeah.
How can you be so like so closed off and taboo about it?
Yeah, like why are you coming for me? But it also means you have a supportive family.
Yes.
Your parents are well known. You know, your parents are I think everything they've done is so important in terms of the legacy. How important is it to have a family, to have parents, to have a community that says to me, go out there, use your voice? How important is that for children? What can you even tell parents listening if they have a child who wants to do it but they're hesitant? What do you want to tell those parents about how important it is to support their child?
It is so important to support your children because right now we have like, okay, for me, let me just say me. I don't, maybe not everyone feels like this, but for me, I have a lot of like, I doubt myself a lot and you don't know what's like, okay. And your family is your first like level of socialization. Like when the people that you'd normally talk about, like something to before you would go and take it to the world. That's how I feel with my parents. And like, it gives me like reassurance when they agree with me because I really respect my parents and I think they're very like full of wisdom. So when they think, when they're like, yeah, what you're doing is making sense. I'm like, it's making sense. They're like, it's making sense. I'm like, okay. Because you know, your parents have lived, like I feel like the role of parents, you've walked a couple of steps ahead of us. So you can just tell us what to expect so that you don't have to, like maybe if you made some mistakes when you're 30, you don't have to go through the same thing when we're 30. Maybe we can learn some things when we're like at this age. So it's just about passing down wisdom, you know, stuff like that. So I feel like it's very important to be supportive because you don't know what your child, like, like your child could have a humongous, like they can be the president, and because you are not encouraging them to do it or not encouraging them about like their strengths and their weaknesses and helping them become more self-aware, they just end up not doing that, and it's like very disappointing. So
I love how you describe the role of parents, which is to, because they've been a few steps ahead, they act as guides.
Yeah,
I think what you've said is very important, because seeing it that way means you're also able to see them as allies. Yes, they're parents. I have kids. I know sometimes I'm like, I have to check you. But at the same time, I also believe in the power of let me guide you.
Mm.
Yeah. Tell us about climate change and how you got into that and why you feel it's important as well.
For me, climate change, me personally, I don't want to be 50 years old and having to go and buy oxygen from a supermarket. You know, before people were not buying water in bottles. They were like, they just could find water. Now we can't drink that water because it's all dirty. And it's all like, I don't want to be having to buy oxygen. And then also, like, I don't want my children to have to suffer from certain like diseases that like from UV rays and cancers and stuff. Because the ozone layer, like, this is a topic, guy. I can just like talk for hours, but I'm going to have to keep it short.
Just rant. Just get it off your chest. Yeah, it's because important.
People will be talking about, like, I'll see someone like throwing a bottle out of their window, for example. And it's mainly because you're like, oh, it's just one bottle. But if everybody has that mentality, that's like 8 billion bottles. Like, you have to start with yourself. It starts at home. It honestly starts at home. If you decide, like, I am going to be recycling, me as an individual, you are the, like, you have responsibility over yourself before you start going to post on your social media about something. Start with yourself. Plant a tree yourself. I don't know how many people can say that they've actually, like, planted a tree. You're just posting about planting trees. Have you planted a tree? It starts with you. Then you can start going out to other people. Then like that, like that, like that. So for me, I feel like also mainly I was passionate about it because of my family. Like I said, my extended family. Big shout out to my Auntie Rosemary for pushing us a lot, because she really pushed us. Like, when we were, like what I was saying before, when we were younger, every time we'd go to coast, we'd plant trees together, and like we'd end up like researching a lot about like the effects of climate change on us, on our health. Like, yeah, so I'm very passionate about it. And I feel like also this is just life. Like what I was saying about fairness, like a tree is also like a life in itself, kind of. Like also animals and stuff like that. So it's unfair to like be selfish with the planet. I mean, and then we start like cutting down trees, deforestation, not giving back to the earth that we live on. So we're just taking, it's like a toxic relationship, really. Yeah, no, really, it is. It's like
the best way I've heard it being described.
It's a toxic relationship.
Best way I've ever heard it being
just
described.
taking.
And not giving.
And not giving. And at some point, when the earth is not giving, and I'll be like, yo, what's going on? But it's you who has been stealing from the earth. So it's really unfair. Like, it's really unfair. That's why I'm passionate.
You have so much energy. You have so much awareness and information. What do you want to do with that? Have you thought a lot about this is what I want to do? Or are you the kind of person who's saying, this is what I'm doing now, this is what's important now, and I'll cross that bridge? Or have you said, I'm thinking leadership, I'm thinking, you know, social justice advocate? What do you think, where do you see Tumi years from now, just given what you're already doing?
I see myself doing something around social enterprise, like, and being an advocate for, like, mostly period poverty. I'm very big on period poverty and on climate change. So what I'm working on with right now, on this project about like making reusable period panties based up with a bamboo charcoal fabric base, right? I'm in this, like, yeah, it's something I'm doing with my male friends, actually. Both of the guys I'm working with are males. That's like, you know, desensitizing the topic. It's amazing. They're very passionate about it as well. And I see myself like kind of having like a business in which, first of all, we employ underprivileged women to give them financial independence. That's one thing. And like increasing their skills so they don't have to depend on like a man or on someone else. They can like make choices for themselves. And then also a percentage of our profits going towards making more reusable period panties for girls in underprivileged schools who are going through period poverty, so that they can finish their education, finish it well. Because, you know, apparently girls end up only getting 80% of their education, as compared to guys who get 100% due to period poverty. So that sets us back a lot. Yeah, so I want to like reduce that setback. I want to make it 100%, 100%, so you can have equal opportunity in the future. So I see myself like mainly like women empowerment in the future, boss woman, reducing climate change, because this is going to affect all of us, not only one of us. So yeah, that's what I see myself.
Oh my gosh, no, I love that. The light you carry, you're lighting it for many others who can't.
That's what I really want to do with my, like, that's what I, that's my passion, really.
Yeah. How would you describe your passion in one sentence?
Using
the light. I'm like,
the light.
It's like, what do you call, you know, those questions where you have out of 10 marks, go.
Okay.
Use the word light and talk about it in one sentence.
I think light your candle first, and then help other people light theirs. You know how you can like light, first you have to light that one, then you can light others with that one, then they can light others with that one. So it's just, I want to be like, yeah, that does that answer the question?
That literally answers the question in a way that I don't even want to add anything other than to say thank you for your compassion and your courage. And just know that you have such a massive community who's there for you. Social advocacy, and I'm sure you've seen it, it gets to places sometimes where it's a lot to carry, but it's a gift you have too. God will give you the gifting to just carry through and lead a lot of people. So thank you.
Well, thank you for having me. It was a very nice conversation.
Yay. Yeah. Alrighty. Thank you.
Thank you for supporting the My First Time Stories podcast, where we're pushing for menstrual justice, one conversation and one story at a time. I'm Janet Bogwa. Continue to follow us across our platforms, and we can't wait to be with you again in our next episode.